Welcome to AM Best Audio.
The insurance industry is working to develop innovative community-based solutions for closing the protection gap for vulnerable populations, helping to protect them from the adverse effects of climate risk, and providing the resources to allow them to recover from catastrophic disasters. I'm John Weber for Best Review Magazine, and I'm speaking today to Jennifer Jackson, CFO, Munich Re Trading, LLC, and Raghuver Venukulu, SVP, Natural Catastrophe Solutions Lead for Munich Re. And Jennifer, let's start with you. Munich Re has a long history of being active in topics related to environmental, social, and governance concerns, especially climate risk. One topic has arisen around climate risk called climate justice. Could you tell us about what climate justice means?
Sure, John. Thank you for that question. Climate justice is actually a new concept, and in all transparency, is one that I've just recently become familiar with. But it essentially is the idea that adverse impacts in weather are felt or not felt equitably among all people. And so in the United States, this environmental injustice, so to speak, includes climate change, and it impacts communities of color and communities that are not of a certain economic status in a disproportionate way, hence the concept of climate justice.
So why is climate justice important?
Well, climate justice is important. So I explained what climate justice is. And so climate justice is important is because there's an impact in society that does not have the same effect on everyone. And so it's important because it's an aspect of human rights and development to achieve this human-centered approach. And so what we want to do, and the reason why this is important, is because we want to make sure that there are options and opportunities available to individuals who are adversely impacted by these climate changes. And so insurance industries in this way have an enormous opportunity to bridge the gap between how these climate changes are felt in certain communities, in particular those of underserved communities.
Jennifer, how are underserved communities being disproportionately impacted?
I think the easiest way for me to answer this is just to provide a brief example. I'm sure everyone's aware of Hurricane Harvey that hit in 2017. And in particular, it hit a community that I was born and raised in called Port Arthur, Texas. And my now 79-year-old mother, her home was flooded, the home I grew up in. She received about 2 to 3 feet of floodwaters in her home. And the community she lives in is predominantly Black. It's an African-American community. And while there are varying economic strata within the community, it's probably considered a low-income community. And so in that instance, my mother's home was destroyed. She did not have flood insurance. Flood insurance was not something that was affordable to her. And I didn't find out that she didn't have the flood insurance until Hurricane Harvey came and we had to figure out how to repair her home. So I think underserved communities are being disproportionately impacted, likely due to the lack of understanding of risk mitigation factors and the inability from a financial perspective to afford those measures.
Raghuver, how large is the underserved marketplace?
Thank you, John. Munich Re has been thinking about climate change since 1970s. So this is the topic of climate risk that impacts everyone, and especially the vulnerable populations. It's something that we have been thinking about for quite a while. So in terms of the underserved marketplace, let's just look at, in terms of example, from a flood and wildfire perspective. So according to one of the studies, about 5% of the homeowners in the United States have flood insurance. Now that's pretty low. If we take the FEMA statistic that 99% of the U.S. counties have experienced a flooding event since 1996, then we're talking about a significant population that would face the impacts of the increasing frequency and severity of flooding. And not to forget that floods is actually the most expensive natural disaster in the United States. And then if we think about, particularly between like the population that has flood insurance versus that doesn't, most studies have indicated that these people that have flood insurance are the ones that are more that wealthier, and the low income and the vulnerable populations do not have carry any flood insurance. So what I'm highlighting here is about 95% of the population in the United States, which would mean almost all of the low income population is going to be impacted with flooding. So that's really a huge huge market there, and that's a huge problem too, right? So of course, with problem, we have an opportunity to solve it. Now, in terms of taking that to an extreme heat and wildfire as two other climate perils, 2020 was one of the worst years for California and citizens in terms of both of these climate perils. In fact, from an extreme heat perspective, Death Valley reported a maximum temperature of 130, which was one of the highest recorded around the world. So, that's the extreme. But even some of the coastal communities in California, which generally experience really nice weather, they had prolonged temperatures of about 90 degrees or higher. Now that was quite an extreme heat wave that a lot of the citizens experienced. Now, according to the fourth climate assessment report, extreme heat events are increasing frequency, by intensity, and also by duration. So this is all the signals of climate change are pretty evident, and the data from the weather stations across the state indicated that if you look at a long-term time series, a rate of 7 additional extreme heat readings were observed each year between 1987 and 2016. So we're seeing this as an increasing problem, and what this impacts is the danger from these extreme heat events is particularly to the health of the low income communities remains less visible, right? And the impacts are poorly measured. So we definitely have a long way to go in terms of addressing some of these aspects of how people are getting impacted and what could be the solutions. So while some of the challenges and needs can be addressed through like policy changes, what we think is a combination of insurance solutions and mitigation approaches through a public-private partnership would be the best way to address the needs of these low-income and vulnerable communities.
What are some other ways the insurance industry can work to aid in this effort?
So this is an interesting topic, and it's like in terms of how the insurance industry can help. One of the things that we talk about at Munich Re is the resilience of communities in general. We think that resiliency can be addressed through two ways. One is by increasing the insurance take-up rate. And the other one is by identifying the risk mitigation strategies so that we reduce the risk over time. Especially this is important as we see the frequency and severity of natural catastrophes increase. We will need to make sure that we address the insurance needs for these communities, especially in this changing environment. So one example of how this could be addressed, right? I would like to use a product example called parametric trigger-based microinsurance, or shortly parametric microinsurance. This is something that's not new to the insurance industry. There have been examples of these kind of products being tested and successfully in developing and emerging economies. So if we take that experience and translate it to the communities with with lower income and vulnerable populations. I mean, this could be a pretty well-suited product, because this is a product that focuses on lower premiums. It has lower coverage and the cost of administration, and has the added benefit of providing funds very quickly after an event. And that's really important, because the resilience of a community is highly dependent on how quickly can they get access to cash and to some kind of monetary funds to recover from that event.
Raghavir, how is the NAACP Environmental and Climate Justice Group working to address this problem?
So let me address this I think the NAACP Environmental and Climate Justice Group, I mean, they're doing tremendous work there. Especially they work to ensure that communities are equipped to engage in sustainability and climate action planning that, again, integrates policies and practices. Now, what we think is potentially partnering from a Munich Re standpoint with NAACP, Environmental and Climate Justice Group. What we could do is we could focus on those developing long-term solutions. So, community of color and low-income communities, they bear the brunt of the impacts of unhealthy, energy inefficient, and disaster vulnerable buildings. So what we could do is we would like to support NAACP on their centering equity in the sustainable building sector. What the vision there is to have a future in which they proactively enforce sustainable building policies and practices that produce equitable access, opportunities, treatment, impacts, and outcomes for all, regardless of their identity or status. And that's really important. Again, we're thinking about a sustainable building sector. So it ties back into all the mitigation strategies that I mentioned earlier to address the needs of the future climate. So that's really how we're looking at this partnership.
So why is Munich Re so passionate about addressing this topic?
Yeah, thank you, John. Again, so Munich Re, again, as I mentioned earlier, that we've been thinking about the topic of climate change. And also I would like to add the topic of closing the protection gap. This is really important, especially for a long-term resiliency of communities. We think that Munich Re plays an important role in this global effort to mitigate and adapt to the climate change. So at Munich Re, we have the knowledge and expertise that can help communities become more resilient by focusing on, again, increasing the insurance take-up rate and closing the insurance gap so that we can reduce the risk with the help of like innovative loss prevention measures and new risk transfer solutions that meets the needs of the underserved and underprivileged communities. So again, this goes back to that resiliency and the twofold approach, increasing the insurance take-up rate and mitigating. How can we do this? We think that public-private partnership is a perfect approach to do that. We can raise the awareness around the policies needed to reduce the impact of climate change and advance a society that fosters sustainable, resilient communities that uphold all rights of all people. So we think that as we address this topic of closing the protection gap and how can we have a sustainable future and adapt to the changing climate, we have to think as a whole, holistically, and not just a certain section of the population.
That was Jennifer Jackson, CFO, Munich Re Trading, LLC, and Raghavir Vunakulo, SVP, Natural Catastrophe Solutions Lead at Munich Re. And I'm John Weber for Best Review Magazine.
Looking to get the full attention of the insurance industry? We have the platforms that will do just that. Whether it be AM Best TV, AM Best Audio, Best Review Magazine, or Best Day. Find out more by calling AM Best Advertising Sales at 908-439-2200, extension 5399, and have a great day.